Good morning. We begin this week our Lenten time of preparation to prepare ourselves to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. We do it every year, and some things are constant from year to year, from Lent to Lent, from church to church, from person to person. Other things vary a bit, and there are particular emphases in particular Lents. Sort of like that other great thing that begins this month, spring training. Pitchers and catchers have been in camp for 2 weeks now. Position players are reporting. And every team, every spring, or fall or summer, depending on the sport, every year, there's certain things that are constant. You do your physical workouts. You stretch the muscles that have gotten a little too relaxed in the off season. You get into conditioning. You go through your basic skills. You try to get back to where you were. That's everywhere, all the time. Then there are particular things for particular teams at particular times. Look at the Orioles, for instance, this spring. We've got 12 starting pitchers in camp, and we have no idea whether any of them can play. So our particular goal for this particular spring training is to see if we can cobble together a decent five-man rotation out of those 12. Other years, other teams, it's not the game, but it is for us here and now. The scripture presents us with a theme like that for this particular Lent. If you read over the first readings for all the Sundays of Lent this year, the thing that stands out is a reflection on covenant, a major theme in all of Scripture, and the one that we're asked apparently to think about particularly this year as we read this cycle of readings. Begins with today's reading from Genesis, and it will follow book by book through the Scripture. All the citations of the various covenants or variations on the one covenant that God makes with us as we go through history. Makes sense? What we do at Holy Week is in many senses a covenant renewal ceremony, just as the Seder is a covenant renewal ceremony of the covenant that was made at Passover, Exodus, and Sinai. So before we do that ceremony, we think a little bit about what covenant means. And we will. We'll explore its meaning and its dimensions as we go through Lent, see it in its various forms. What I'd like to point out about this week is the dimension of this covenant with Noah. Now, I'm not asking you to believe in Noah. All right? We are not fundamentalists. We don't take all of that stuff literally. Those whole first 11 chapters of Genesis are traditional stories that have been put together to establish a context for the family history that begins with Abraham and Sarah. But just as we don't believe in Adam and Eve, and yet there's an awful lot of truth in those stories, if we listen to it with other than literal sense, so there's an awful lot of truth in this Noah story. One of the things that we hear again and again in that very brief reading this morning is covenant with the earth, covenant with you and with all living creatures, covenant with you and with all those who come out of the ark with you. It's this universality dimension. Realize now, within the story, everything was wiped out by this flood. You're down to bare bones, rocks. The trees, the plants, the animals, everything, the whole earth is repopulated with what comes off that ark. And God says, I make a covenant with you And with all of that, I will be with you. I will not back away from the faithfulness of my love for you and for all that comes with you off the ark, all that is. That's a dimension of covenant that they're very deliberately attributing to this story. And this is set first. We read this one before we get to Abraham, later in the same book, or Exodus, or David. Any of the variations of the covenant come after this. So they're very deliberately setting all these particular covenants within the context of a general covenant. God's faithfulness to creation, to all that is. That creates an interesting perspective for us, doesn't it? Before we get around to thinking about our particular covenant that we renew at Easter, we need to remember that we are part of a broader covenant that God has made with all that is. We're a part of God's creative process. God has to be constantly holding back just to allow creation to emerge. The fullness of God's being is so great that if God let go, God's being would rush in and there'd be no room left for anything else. Rabbinic doctrine of tzimtzum, God backing up to make a space for creation. When God decides not to do that, the waters roll in and everything goes. And God says, I will not do that. For you and for all those who come off that ark with you, I will make your space. I will continue to make your space. I will let you grow. I will be there with you, not over against you or overwhelming you. I will be there with you forever. That's a promise. Now, if that's the context for covenant, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us in the way we look at God? What does it mean for us in the way we look at creation? If we take that seriously, does our very utilitarian approach to creation work anymore? Can you simply say that, well, it's okay, for since we are rational animals, we are the top of the food chain, to use up the rest of creation for our needs? Before you even get to the question of, well, is that fair to the generation that comes after us, who are left with the leftovers, we have to ask, is it fair to creation itself? If God has made a covenant with creation, and we are a part of that, then who do we need to be? How do we need to approach the world? That's only one dimension of covenant. There are a bunch of covenants, which are all the covenant, in the scripture. And we'll touch on them as we go along. But read over this Noah one. Just notice how often the generality of it is emphasized. Read it over a couple times. I'll give you a clue. It's right near the beginning of the book. You can find it all by yourself. Read it over a few times. Think about it. Pray about it in that dimension. If God's covenant is that broad, with all that comes with you out of the ark, then what does it mean for us to be a part of, to be faithful to, a covenant like that? Sisters and brothers, let us pray.